So we're in Psalm 119, verse 169 through 176. All right, so here we're down to the last consonant of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Tau consonant. And so the Hebrew alphabet goes from Aleph to Tau, or we'd say A to T in this case. Our alphabet, of course, goes A to Z. But nevertheless, this is the last consonant in the alphabet. And so what we have in David uses the Hebrew alphabet to organize his psalm around. And he goes in order here and goes, and every eight verses starts with the letter of that particular consonant. And he then deals with his issues that he has here. So, you know, I've mentioned this about every time, so about 22 times at least I've mentioned this as we've gone through Psalm. But we're down here to the last one. It's interesting, I think, that in verse 1, Psalm 119, the first word is blessed, but the Hebrew word is asher. And it starts with an Aleph, the equivalent A. We look down here to the last word in the Hebrew of Psalm 119, verse 76. It's the verb, I do not forget. So it's actually a verb, I do, and that's negated. I do forget, negated. But the in that construction, the last consonant in the Hebrew of I do not forget, the last consonant is the Tau consonant. So in other words, David was very careful to put in here a verb that where that ends with the last consonant. So we see the not only the human genius, but obviously the inspiration of the Lord behind this. So the very first consonant starts with Aleph, and the very last consonant ends with a Tau. And so he's got this complete together. Now, consonants make up words, and we need vowels with consonants. They make up words. The Lord's the Alpha and the Omega of the New Testament. So in the New Testament, he's the Alpha and Omega. Here in the Old Testament, he's the consonants. But you put them all together, what do you have? The Word of God. He's the Word of God. John 1:1, Psalm 119. The Word of God, he's the living Word of God, which is revealed in the written Word of God. And so our love for the written Word of God demonstrates our love for the living Word of God. And so we see the direct connection here that we have here. And so we come to an end in this psalm. And what we look here in verse 176. So I think as we read through this, we would think by the time we get to verse 176, he says, and it would say, and David lived happily ever after. Doesn't say that. Notice that almost sounds like it ends on a negative note. Notice that. 176. So 119, 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Wait a minute. What? He's gone astray. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So really, in this psalm, in all 176 verses, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. David's in the world. He's in a privileged position. But in this privileged position, he has enemies. He has people against him. He's got opposition. He is hated without a cause. So he's facing all these things. When these things occur, and then the ups and downs of life and so on, his constant testimony is, I'm going to dig into the Word of God. I'm going back to the Word of God. Doesn't matter if the whole world falls apart, I'm going to be looking into the Word of God, trusting the Lord, and that's my area of refuge, right there in the Word of God. And so this is his testimony. And so we could learn from this. We could learn from this. So the believer's life is comprised this way. You have good days, you have bad days. You have you're up and you're down. It seems like by the time you get up, something happens, you're down. You know, and so the vicissitudes of life. My wife and I, quite often after church services, we're kind of reflecting on the day and so on, and we say, boy, you know, these folks, there's been a victory in this life. Amen. There's been a victory in this life today, or in this family, or there's been a victory today. But the second breath is, there's been a defeat. There's been a defeat. And so, you know, that's life. That's Christian life. It's not the way we like it, but we individually have ups and downs. Our church has ups and downs. We see victories. We see defeats. And so, as we go through the psalm, David's trying to reflect this. The battle's not going to get any easier. So, I hate to give you the discouraging word. But that's life. The battle's not going to get any easier until the Lord takes us out. In the meantime, is there a solution to the difficulties of life? There is. Get in the Word of God and find your confidence in the Lord through His Word and your trust and your encouragement. So tomorrow, Monday morning, is going to roll around. You're forced back into that world. You got these issues that come up. They didn't end Friday night, right? Or Friday, they didn't end up in Friday. They're going to pick up on Monday, and you're going to have more trials and more difficulties and so on. But you've got the Bible, don't you? You've got the Bible. They can memorize the Bible, study it, read it, be in it. As the enemies get closer and narrow in, and you're almost suffocating because they're so close, somebody's closer. Somebody's closer. They can take care of you. All right. But anyway, let's look here in the psalm itself in 169 and so on. Now the word tau, means something. It means a mark. It means a mark, like marking something, a mark. And so in Ezekiel 9:4, for instance, the word tau is spelled out and it's translated mark, M-A-R-K, a mark. It's also interesting that the word for truth. So the word for truth, truth. The Hebrew word is almeth. Almeth, and so here's your aleph, here's your tau. And so the word for truth starts with the first letter and ends with the last letter. And this means truth. Now, I think that's purposeful. I mean, truth starts with the aleph, ends with the tau, and truth should be found all throughout the Word of God, all throughout God's creation, and so on. So, looking here, let's go through these verses now, and in verses 169 and following. Now, in Hebrew, sometimes the word let reflects the tau at the beginning of a verb. So here we have 169, let my cry come near. Actually, let come near, that's the verb. And so it's translated with the word let because it's a performative, or it begins at the beginning of the word and gives this idea of letting, or we might call it adjusive. Also in verse 170, let. Verse 173, let. 175, let. And 175 as well, let thy judgments, all right? And so we have the expression let reflecting the tau at the beginning of a verb, all right? So you don't see this, obviously, in English, but this is what we have going on here. Now in 169 he says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. That word cry here has to do with a loud cry, that he's crying out to the Lord. He's saying, let my cry come near before thee. He wants the Lord to hear him. We want the Lord to hear us. Now, we don't have to shout as if he's deaf, but he is using an emphatic word here. But we want our prayers to come to the Lord. And in that, he says, give me understanding according to thy word. So let my cry come near before thee. He's got a burden. He needs to cry out here. He's got a major problem. Remember, things continually increase. He's got princes around. He's got others that are around. They dig pits for him. They hate him without a cause. They don't obey the word of God. They're lying about him, all kinds of things. And so he wants the Lord to hear him. And in all this, he says, give me understanding according to thy words. So the Lord gives us direction in the Word of God and through the Word of God so we can have understanding here. We can understand the will of God. We understand the will of God through the written Word of God now. But he can give us understanding. So I think quite often as we have a framework for Scripture, the Lord can bring to our mind these Scriptures and help us to formulate his will for our life. He doesn't speak to us audibly, but he does speak through his word. And we can develop this. Now notice in verse 170, a very similar pattern that we have here. 170 says, let my supplication come before thee. Well, he just said that, didn't he? Let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Now he says, let my supplication come before thee. So now he's crying out twice. Here we have a twofold testimony if he wants his prayer to be heard by the Lord. So let my supplication. A supplication has to do with a need. So we bring our needs to the Lord. Lord, I need help here. That's what he said in the last verse. I need understanding. I need understanding according to thy will. How to live my life according to thy will. See, this falls right back here in the first verse of Psalm 119 again. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So our walk is to correspond to the Word of God. That's true for any believer. Adam was to walk according to the will of God. God made his will clear. You can eat of any tree out there in the garden. So anywhere you want to walk in that garden, you can eat any tree out there except one. And so he made his will clear to Adam. And likewise, for us, we've got the full canon of Scripture now. But we need to walk according to his word and give an understanding. He says, let me have my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. He needs deliverance now. He needs understanding and deliverance because he's being attacked. Those are all around. So the Lord is the great deliverer. He can deliver us in whatever situation we find ourselves. And he's the one who's working behind the scenes. He's working in hearts and lives. He's orchestrating things and organizing things. And he's putting certain things together here. And we're asking the Lord, deliver me. Well, he's working on it. He's working on it. And from time to time, you'll find out, wait a minute. Sure enough, this occurred. But as you think of the events, he's been working on that a long time. And you're just seeing some fruition of that right now. And so he says, deliver me according to thy word. From whom does he want deliverance? He's not asking for salvation. He's not asking to be saved. He's already a believer. He wants deliverance from his enemies who are digging pits for him, want to hurt him and harm him and so on. And so he wants the Lord to hear his prayer. And so he uses these two expressions, let come near, and let come before thee. So these are really the verbs that are involved here. But he wants his cry and his supplication to come before the Lord. And next, in 171, he says, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Now he's asking for understanding. He's asking for understanding back in verse 169. And when the Lord starts to give him understanding and teach him, he can utter praise to the Lord. So he realizes this. I'm asking the Lord for help. I'm understanding. Understand the will of God. Amen. And almost immediately, the Lord reveals something to him. And now he says, my lips shall utter praise. Shall utter praise. And so, you see, this is a spiritual issue here. It's not intellectual, it's spiritual. He can praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing. Now he says, when thou hast taught me, but he's asked several times for the Lord to teach him, and the Lord has taught him, and he's growing in the Word of God. You see, so the difficulties that he brings our way helps us grow. Difficulties are good for us because we grow in the difficulties. If we have the right response. Now, when difficulties come, if we get bitter and we blame God and say, why do you allow this to happen, and so on, we're not growing. The issue is not him, it's us. So in any scenario in life, the Lord has us respond. So from time to time in our life, certain things happen, and we have a responsibility to respond to these. How do we respond to these things? We're either going to respond in a good way and say, amen, that's good, I need this, let me learn from this, or I'm bitter, I'm mad, why does this happen to me? Shouldn't have happened to me. And so how do we respond to issues that come up in life? Now he's wanting deliverance from his enemies. He's going to praise the Lord. My lips shall utter praise. Now the word utter there is the verb naba, but the noun nabi, or the noun prophet, the word prophet, as the prophet, comes from the verb. And so the utter praise, or the verb, means to bubble over. Bubble over. So here his praise is going to bubble over. It's going to bubble over. The prophet, the Old Testament prophet, his words bubble over, bubbling over, and so on. And here his lips are going to bubble over with praise. Bubble over with praise. So the prophets of the Old Testament, God gave them revelation. They bubbled over. And they made the revelation known. His praise was going to bubble over. Now, the obviously, there's a place to control this. Let's notice the verb as it shows up in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. In this case, dead flies cause the ointment of an apothecary, to send forth stinking savor, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So sendeth forth is our word bubbling over, but in this case, when flies cause the apothecary to stink, then the sending forth is in a negative. So the bubbling over can be good or it can be bad, but it needs to be disciplined. It needs to be disciplined. All right, anyway, back here to Psalm 119. So my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. So he's in the Word of God. He's trying to study, trying to find the word, Lord's will here. And in this, he can praise the Lord. And at 172, he says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So here again, my lips, verse 171, my tongue shall speak. So in other words, we manifest what's in our heart. We manifest what's in our heart. We've got bitterness in our heart, we're not going to be praising the Lord. We're going to be complaining, murmuring, so on. But if we have praise in our heart, it's going to come out. We can't help it. We can't help it. If you take an Alka-Seltzer and drink that down and so on, what's going to happen? You're going to have a lot of bubbles coming out. You can't help it. All right? Right? Well, if you got praise in your heart, what's going to happen? It's just going to come out. You can't help it. You can't put a stop to it. On the other hand, if you got a bad heart, bad spirit, bitterness, it's going to come out. It'll come out. And it'll be manifested there. And so he wants to keep his lips and tongue in check by praising the Lord, having his heart right. And his heart becomes right when he's in the Word of God and submits to it. It says, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Then 173, he says, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. So he's looking for a helping hand. And the Lord offers a helping hand. You want help? He's got a hand that'll help you. Whose helping hand would you like in life? How about the Lord's helping hand? He's got a helping hand. Now, earlier, we see back in verse 73, in the Yod strophe, verse 73, David talks about the Lord's hands. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. So the Lord's hands have made him. So the Lord's made us. He knows exactly how we respond and everything about us. He's made us. He's made us. Now, David's saying, your hands have made me. Now, I'd like your hands to help me. And the Lord knows how to help us as a unique individual. You think of the uniqueness of mankind. We're all unique. Now, in general, we all look like humankind, humanoids, or whatever you want to call that. But we're all unique. We're all unique. Think of the uniqueness of us. And so God has created us in a unique fashion. But he knows our uniqueness. So he knows what works with each one of us. And so he can bring in the perfect situation or scenario in our life to see how we're going to respond to that. Because he has a unique difficulty for us to see how we respond to pull out what he wants out of our unique life. So we're unique, and he knows how to deal with us in a unique way, and he does. So let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Here he's made it clear. I've chosen the word of God. I've chosen this as my path. Now, in choosing the word of God as my path, I need some help. I need help. So he's looking for the Lord to help him here. 174, he says, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Here again, he's longed for salvation. Now, this doesn't mean he's not saved and he needs to get saved. He's talking about deliverance here, same word that we saw there earlier, deliverance or salvation. But he's longed. I've longed for thy salvation. Now, the word behind longed here is ta'av, but it's the word from which we get taboo, T-A-B-O-O. So, in our society and language, so on, a taboo is something that people long for that's illegal or immoral. We have a negative connotation for taboo. Something's taboo. That's what we don't talk about. We don't want to participate in. We don't want to know about. We don't want to discuss something taboo. You don't go after taboo things, right? You leave them alone. That's the negative aspect of the word. But he's using the Hebrew word from which taboo comes, saying, I have longed for something good. So just as the wicked long for something bad, and so they get into more. In our society, there's so much that's taboo now. I mean, so many things are being revealed now. Our society is just full of all kinds of things that were taboo just a few years ago, and our society just accepts it as normal. But he says, I have longed for something good. I've longed for deliverance. This is what I'm longing for. So we're not promoting you going after taboo things, obviously. But he used the word, and he's longed for something that's not bad or evil. He's longed for something that's good. And just as the wicked in their flesh would long for something terrible, we ought to have the same spiritual energy to long for something that's of great value. Great value. So I've longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. So he's delighting in the word of God. That's where his delight is. His delight's not in his scenario in life. I'm not delighting in the fact that princes hate me and they want to dig pits for me and they hate me without a cause and everybody around me doesn't appreciate the word and they're after me. And so he's not delighting in that, but he's delighting in the word of God. So it's kind of almost an oxymoron here that we have, a contradiction. In life, we have some hardships, but in the midst of all these hardships, we can have some great desires. That's the word of God as we're going through difficult trials. That's where the Lord wants us. You know, that's what's good for us. The Lord, we're told there in Hebrews 12, notice that his joy, what was the Lord's joy? The Lord's joy was obeying the Lord. He says there in 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He was able to have joy in being obedient, facing a very difficult situation. Obviously, the cross. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So we can have delight and joy even in the most of difficult times. It's a heart issue. It doesn't have to do with the externals. On the one hand, you can say, I'm in the best external situation I could possibly be in. But your heart could be wrong with the Lord. Adam was in the garden, but he finally got kicked out of the garden. And we might say, my external scenario is bad. I'm facing these things all the time. But you can have joy in your heart. You can have delight. Delight in the Word of God. Verse 175, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. So notice he wants life. Now, as he's saying this, he may sense there are attacks upon his life. Most leaders in the world have people who want to take him out. I mean, that's going on right now in our country. There's efforts and cries to assassinate our president. So here he's the king of Israel. He certainly had enemies from within. His own son, Absalom, wanted to take the throne and was willing to kill him for it. So he had enemies within. So when he says, let my soul live, I think he's talking about physical salvation from his enemies. This shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. So he's back to the help theme again. So and the praise theme. So here he brings these two points out. Back in 171, praise. Here, praise. 173, help. Here, 175, help. He wants help so he can praise the Lord. And he wants his life extended so he can continue to praise the Lord. But that's going to have to happen if the Lord helps him. So we see the scenario that he has here. And then finally, I already read this verse, but here in conclusion, he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. In the end, my tendency is to get off the path. My tendency is to get off the path, be tempted and get off the walk in the law of the Lord. That's my tendency. I mean, he realizes he's got an old nature. His tendency is to get off and be like a lost sheep. And if and when he does, he wants the Lord to seek him and get him back on the path. And then he concludes with, for I do not forget thy commandments. So here's his positive statement. He's negating, but I do not forget. He's making a statement there. He's not going to forget the Lord's commandments. But as he wanders on and off the path, he needs the help. It's easy to get pulled off. It's easy to turn from being filled with the Spirit to losing that filling immediately. And sometimes we don't even know it. Then all of a sudden, wait a minute, why am I wandering over here? What's happened here? Why am I over here all of a sudden? I need to get back on the path. I need to get back on the path. And so he wants the Lord to seek him. Seek thy servant. By the way, he calls himself servant. Seek thy servant. He knew his relationship with the Lord. He was a servant of the Lord. I mentioned that to you before in Psalm 116. Remember his testimony there in 116, verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. He states that twice. I am thy servant. He's a servant of the Lord. And this is the status of all believers. If we're a believer, we're a servant of the Lord. If we're a servant of the Lord positionally, we ought to be a servant of the Lord practically. Serve the Lord in some way. And so he's asking the Lord to help him. He says, I've gone astray. You know, for the last verse of this psalm, it seems so strange. But it's not strange if you know your heart. You know your own heart. It's not strange. Yeah, that's me. That's me. I've just gone through 176 verses. I'm ready to get off the path. What? Now that's us. We talked about that this morning in Romans. We have that old nature. We got the old nature. And so here he wants the Lord to help him. So he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen. I trust that we'll learn from this, learn David's life here. But all throughout here, all the things that were going on to pull him off the walk in the law of the Lord, he focused on the Word of God. And the Word of God will bring you back. It'll bring you back. It'll bring you back to his will. And so that's where we need to be, in the will, in the Word of God, to know the will of God, so we can do the work of God. and have the blessing of the Lord on our life. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you'll help us now as we think about David's message here and his psalm and how he's put this together and how he is so transparent in his believer's life and willing to help us because we see ourselves there with David as well. We pray that you help us to learn his lesson, be able to cite the truths here as well in our own life, how we do not forget the Lord's commandments. We're in the Word of God. We're trusting the Lord and His Word. We pray that you bless each one now and help us as we contemplate the passage, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.